Praise the Lord. Good morning. So, today is Sunday, April 29th. We see another month gone. Basically gone. Good news is, summer's almost here. Okay, it doesn't even look like spring is hit here good, but summer's on its way, and our summer people will be coming back up. We look forward to seeing them. Deb was in contact with Jackie just the other day, and Jackie's getting ready to head up. Yeah, we have our different things going on later this afternoon. Deb and I will start a journey. We're going down to see Jim. So, Jim, I left you a message the other day. So you should already know this, but if you don't, surprise, here we come. Because Deb and I will be out of town next week, Pastor David will be speaking. We're very grateful for David and Linda stepping in and being able to help out. We're grateful for the relationship that God has formed with us. Formed with them, and we're grateful for the new people that we've met, Denny and Dion, and also Christina and Emily. We met Emily Wednesday night. I'm grateful for each and every person, because each and every one of us, as we come together, the whole body is strengthened by that which every joint supplies, and we need one another. I want to talk this morning about grief and hope. Deb and I were at a remembrance service for a good friend on Friday. And then this morning we hung up the obituary for Kathy, another good friend and one of our summer people. And each and every one of us face grief. Each and every one of us face loss. And as I was thinking about this, as I was working on the message this week and trying to figure out what we were going to talk about and how we were going to share, I don't know about you, but sometimes I think it's better if I keep my mouth shut. Because sometimes when there are no words to say, to express our grief, to express the loss, and somebody just wants to spout off some words, or even well-meaning words, sometimes they come across flat. I was talking with somebody at the remembrance ceremony for Tina on Friday. How the 4th of July week last year was a very, very bad week for us, because one couple that we know and care for deeply lost their house in a fire, and lost their three dogs also in the fire. Then on the 5th, my father passed. On the 6th, I believe it was, Charlotte passed. Also that week, the mother of a friend and former coworker passed. This is all in one week. There are no words to say. We can go to the Bible and we can find hope. We can go in and find some comfort. But if we're not ready to receive that comfort, it really doesn't help. Still, because we, each and every one of us, face loss and face grief in our lives. In the prayer, Sue mentioned one of her daughter's in-laws was not well and expecting to pass. As we look in anticipation of the things that happen, we're coming up on Mother's Day. My mother died in 1987. And there's still a song that every once in a while comes across the radio and I have to pull over and cry. We each and every one of us go through grief and loss. We lose family members. You know, it's at the risk of sounding uncaring. Everybody goes through these things. But because we go through these things, we should have a heart of compassion for those that are going through it because we've been there and because we understand and because we know. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul, in his letter, beginning with chapter 4, beginning with verse 13, says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of God, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Notice back in verse 13, he says, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." He doesn't say, lest you sorrow. Because we do sorrow with the loss of a loved one. We do sorrow when a part of our life is forever changed and turned upside down with the loss of someone near and dear to us. But unlike those who don't know the Lord, unlike those who don't have a relationship with Jesus, when we face that loss, it is at least tempered with the hope that this is not the end of the story. Remember Paul Harvey and the rest of the story? Way back many, 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 many years ago, back in high school, and I don't know why I just thought of this, but I just thought of this. In the English class in high school, we had to watch this film called The Occurrence of Owl Creek Bridge, at Owl Creek Bridge. And it was a Civil War book. And from what I understand later, if you read the book, it makes a whole lot more sense than watching the movie. Because when you're watching the movie, this person has been caught and has been trapped as being a spy. And is getting hung at Owl Creek Bridge. And as the people step off the board and he drops down to hang, the rope breaks and he drops in the water he's tied up, so he's trying to struggle and get free and is being shot at and chasing and running and all through these things. All of these things going on, and you're watching this story. And as you go and he finally reaches his family, and he's about to reach out to them, the rope pulls taut, and he gets killed. I'm like, what? See, I told you. Without having read the book, you didn't know that they step off the board at the end of one chapter. And all of the rope breaking, the escape, the everything that is going on is all part of the intervening chapters. And then it gets back to that. So that was all a dream and all that was all an imagination. This world, the life that we have here is just a fleeting moment. Whether it's 2 weeks or 103 years. Whether it's just a breath or two. The time that we have, however long this time happens to be, seems to be in ours, it is just a fleeting period of time. But it's not the story. I brought out the occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge because the way things seem to be is not necessarily the way things are. So often, we get messed up with that. And what Paul is saying is, I don't want you to be like those who don't have hope. Yes, sorrow for the loss of a loved one. But remember, this is not the end of the story. This is not the final thing. Because we will see our loved ones again. We will be caught up together with them. If we survive until the coming of Jesus, all of our loved ones who have gone on to be with Jesus prior to this will be coming with Him in the clouds. That's what Scripture tells us. Now, last week as we were talking, we read about Jesus after Lazarus dead going and meeting with Martha and then meeting with Mary saying, "Lord, if you had been here, my loved one would not have died." The part we skipped over between those two is what I'm reading now. John 5, beginning with verse 24, says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as my Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. It talks in Corinthians about Jesus being the first fruit, the first to rise from the dead. Well, this is the part it was between. Never mind, the part I just read was not the part I was thinking I was reading. But it is an important point. Jesus says that those who are in the grave will hear his voice. Everyone will be raised from the dead. Those who know Jesus into a resurrection of life, and those who don't into a resurrection to judgment. Deb, let's skip down to Psalms. Psalm 116, verse 12. The psalmist says, "For what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" We ever stop and think about that? As much as God has done in our lives, what do we give to the Lord? I guess the other part of that is, what do we hold back from the Lord? See, everything it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take up the cup of salvation and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of his people." This is the Old Testament. This is in the Psalms. This is where they had to take a sacrifice to the temple once a year to put off the judgment for their sins until the next atonement day. And he says, God has been gracious to me. God has been good to me. I will trust him. I will sing praises to him. I will declare his goodness among the peoples. What will I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Or as I said the other way, what is it that I hold back from God? Do we trust the Lord no matter what? Do we have faith that no matter what our circumstances are, God is still at work? Even when we're facing grief, even when we're facing loss, even in the depths of despair, even when there's a foreclosure, even when there's a bankruptcy, even when there's a child that's running away and not seeking God, even when there's grief, even when there's hurt, even when there's pain in our lives, do we trust that God is still God and still worthy of praise? And has still done great and gracious things to us. We all go through grief. My question is, do we have the hope that where we are is not where we're going to end up? Even we're in the bottom of the pit. Jeremiah was put, as I read the scripture, maybe somebody else has a different interpretation, but it sure looks to me like he was put in the sewer. That does not sound like a pleasant place to be. Yet, even in the midst of the miry pit, he was still praising God. Drop down to Lamentations, Deb. Lamentations. Speaking of Jeremiah, Lamentations 3, beginning to verse 21. He says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him." Jeremiah says in Lamentations, if God wasn't involved, we'd have been wiped out already. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Do we go through difficult times? Absolutely. Do we have turmoil in our life? Yes, we do. But the graciousness of God at work in our lives has sustained us even when things seem overwhelming. Because if they were completely overwhelming, we would be overwhelmed. But the Lord's mercies bring us through. Even though we go through trials, even though we go through turmoil, Peter says, don't be surprised by the fiery trial which is going to test you as though some strange thing happened. For you know that these same things occur to your brethren that are in the world. In other words, everybody goes through grief. Everybody goes through difficulty. Everybody goes through turmoil. The difference is if we have hope in the Lord that He's going to bring us through it. That even when we're in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, when there is turmoil on every side, when there are problems on every side, when there are obstacles on every side, we can still trust that God hasn't brought us this far to leave us right here. He is bringing us through. He is bringing us to something better. Something we may not understand yet. But just having that faith and that trust that God is still at work. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. And Lamentations, the very word means being down and distraught and just in pain and crying out our heart. Basically singing the blues. Okay? Only not quite so upbeat as singing the blues. You know? Lamentations is the blues on steroids. Okay? Things are bad, but God is still faithful. I'm in turmoil. I am in pain. I am hurting. I am in grief. I am destitute. Yet God is still God. God is still at work in my life. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 4, beginning with verse 14. writer of Hebrews, some people think it's Paul, could very well be, never says. But the writer of Hebrews says, chapter 4, beginning with verse 14, says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The writer of Hebrews says, Jesus understands what we're going through. Jesus came from heaven to be born in a manger, be born in a stable, laid in a manger in Bethlehem, grew up as a human being, learned obedience by the things he suffered according to Scripture, came to understand everything that we went through, that he might be our perfect sacrifice and be our perfect high priest, who understands our frame, knows that we are but dust, understands everything that's going on in us. So often we feel like nobody understands. Jesus understands. Nobody can relate to our situation. Jesus can. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, give us your grace. Give us your mercy. Work in us, Father. In 2 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 3, Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." The Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Where do we find the comfort we need? We find it right here. "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, all of our problems, all of our testing, all of our turmoil, all of our pain. He comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to obtain those who are in any trouble." Why does God allow us to go through things? How in the world can we relate to people if we haven't gone through anything? How can we be a comfort to people if God has never comforted us? By the same token, since God has comforted us, we are called to be a comfort to the people around us. We are called to reach out. We are called to be God's hands and feet extended. We are called to show God's love to each and every person we encounter. We are called to comfort those, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves were comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we were afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Paul says, no matter what I go through, it is so I can relate. It is so I can share. It is so I can comfort. It is so I can minister. It is so I can understand what other people are going through. Remember, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The things happen to everybody. Our hope lies in the fact that we have not been left comfortless. We have not been left without hope. We have not been left without strength. Even when we are out past the end of our own strength, past the end of our own understanding, past the end of our own abilities, a God who loves us, who sent Jesus to die for us, is the one who comforts us, is the one who keeps us, is the one who guides us, is the one who pours out His love upon us, and gives us the command and the commission to share that with those that are hurting around us. Final passage of Scripture, Job 19, beginning with verse 25. Historians tell us that Job was probably the first book of the Bible that was ever written. It predates the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, because it predates Moses by quite a bit. So even though the things recounted in Genesis happened before Job, Job was probably the first book written. So in Job 19, beginning with verse 25, Job says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." You know the story of Job, everything that he'd gone through, the difficulties, the turmoils, the loss of his family, the loss of everything he owned, his wife telling him to curse God and die, his friends calling him or coming up and spending time with him and saying, "Look, you know you sin, you may as well just confess it." And the whole time, in the midst of all of that, Job held on to his faith in God. He says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." Job says, "I know God exists. I know He loves me. I know He's going to redeem me." In spite of all of the pain, all of the tribulation, all of the loss, all of the grief, all of the hurt, boils on his flesh so that he's scraping his skin with broken pottery because it hurts so bad. He says, "I still know God is there." That's having hope in the midst of grief. That's having hope that no matter what goes on, this is not the end of the story. No matter what I see, this is not how it ends. I know my Redeemer lives. I have faith that no matter what happens, no matter what turmoil I go through, no matter what problems I face, no matter what problems we all face, there is still a God in heaven who is gracious and merciful, who has loved us and redeemed our lives from destruction. And because of Jesus, has not only forgiven us our sins, but also imputed His righteousness to us. David said, "Blessed is the man whose transgressions are covered, whose sins are pardoned. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness." Blessed is the man who God gives us Jesus' righteousness. Not only forgives us our sin, covers our sin, washes it, cleanses it, and gives us righteousness. That is a hope and an expectation that no matter what happens in however many days we have on this earth, no matter what turmoil or problems we face in this time, no matter what our grief, no matter what our loss, this is not the end of the story. Job said, "I know that my Redeemer lives." Can we say that with him? Do we know that our Redeemer lives? That no matter what has come upon us, no matter what the pain, no matter what the difficulties, no matter what the problems, this is not the end of the story. And my God shall supply all my needs. My God shall heal me. My God shall cleanse me. My God shall comfort me. Do we have that hope? We all have that grief. My question is, do we grab onto that hope? Father, we just thank You. Thanking You, Lord, for Your Word. Thanking You, Father, for the examples through it. Thanking You, Lord, that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will never die. Said, because I live, you will live also. Lord, that You become our comfort and our strength. And that even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the grief, even in the midst of the loss, You are still at work. Father, we thank You for it. We give You the glory and the praise. We give You all the thanks, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.